You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Fan Hotline is brought to you by Workers' Compensation Law Firm of Hall and Capitis. Let's go to that Fan Hotline and talk to our good friend from the Post-Gazette, John McGonigal. Hi, John. How are you?
I'm great, Paul. How are you doing?
I'm good, except for I was trying to finish eating before my show, I jammed a bunch of food down my throat, and I have these damn hiccups that won't go away. Do you have any cures for the hiccups?
I just hold my breath for like 30 seconds and then hope it goes away. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I hate the hiccups, though. They're the absolute worst.
They are the worst, and the thing about it is when they won't go away, it's really a pain in the butt. But nevertheless, we had the Pat Narduzzi show on from 6 to 7, and John, I was talking about the fact that Pat Narduzzi's got to start winning more of these games that he, you know, like the BC game, but I don't think the answer is firing him, and I was wondering what your thoughts are.
No, absolutely not. Not at this point. No. I mean, this season has to totally bottom out for him to be, I think, if you want to talk about it like a hot seat. I mean, the season would have to bottom out in that, you know, they don't win another game, or maybe they only beat like Georgia Tech or something. I mean, that's what I think it would take, just given kind of where this program is at right now. And obviously there were some serious expectations for this season. You know, we've gone over those kind of ad nauseum, you know, throughout the weeks, even going back to March, and when we were talking about whether or not a season would be played, we were talking about how it would be a shame if it wasn't because of the expectations and the talent on this team, which there is a lot. But, you know, this team is underachieving, or at least up until this point, five games in, it has underachieved. And, you know, I had a live chat today on the Post-Gazette, and there was a lot of angry Pitt fans, which, you know, totally warranted, totally understood. But the calling for, hey, you know, this isn't going to get any better and fire him now, that's not the answer.
You don't want to start over. I think that's what a lot of Pitt fans don't understand, is if you fire him, you're starting over. And if you start over, you know, you've got another 3 or 4 or 5 years in the wilderness. Maybe there's just some changes, you know, on the staff or some changes in philosophy. But to me, when you fire a coach, you are starting over. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, 100%. And not only that, you talk about the staff. I mean, one of the questions that I got on the chat was about Mark Whipple and saying, oh, he has to be gone, right? And, you know, look, the offense, just looking at it production-wise, was not up to standard last year, averaging 21.2 points per game. And right now, this season, through four ACC games, you know, take out the Austin Peay game, they're averaging just under 26 points a game, which still isn't, you know, it's a slight improvement, but it's still not, you know, really good enough to win at the college level these days. But if you move on, say you bring in another offensive coordinator next year, you know, Narduzzi will have 5 offensive coordinators in 7 seasons. You don't build an offense that way. It's just not. I mean, obviously, you know, Matt Canada came in and did an amazing job in his 1 year here, but normally that doesn't happen. Normally it's not a quick fix with the offense. These things take time to grow. So I don't think, you know, look, some philosophy changes maybe, but I don't think you go into a big overhaul either. I mean, this is a staff with a lot of good coaches on it. Randy Bates is a good defensive coordinator. Charlie Partridge is one of the best, you know, defensive assistants in the country. Chris Beatty is a great recruiter. They're, you know, the wide receivers need to improve a little bit with the drop issues, but, you know, it's a good staff.
No, it absolutely is a good staff, John, and I think they've got a lot of good coaches. You know, and I think the one thing Pitt fans don't understand, and I'm going to ask you this, and, you know, I know you covered Penn State, But to me, I think sometimes the expectations at Pitt might be a little too high for where the program is at, number one, and number two, what the, you know, what the potential for that program to be just based on some of the limitations. I mean, I don't expect Pitt to ever be Clemson. So I don't know what, I mean, maybe you can speak to that.
Yeah, I don't think so either, but I also, I think there's a small group that have that potential to break out and be like a Clemson. I mean, pretty much get like what, two teams per conference. It seems maybe a few more down there in the SEC, given the talent level that they have pretty much access to. But yeah, so Pitt's not going to become a Clemson. That's just, I don't think that's really ever going to happen unless you get just like, you know, it could be a handful of years down the line if the landscape changes in some weird way. But I think this program, though, you see kind of the seeds, I think, in at least in recruiting and recently, where you have Chris Beatty, you know, getting some guys out of Virginia, which is one of, you know, the kind of up-and-coming states in terms of talent. Georgia has always been talent rich in terms of high school prospects, and Archie Collins, the DB's coach at Pitt, is doing a really good job recruiting that area. And then of course Partridge is recruiting South Florida as good as kind of anyone is, especially given that he's not at an Alabama or, you know, a Texas or a Miami. So I think from a recruiting sense, you're not seeing it in the, you know, getting four or five star guys, because you're not going to get those guys unless you start winning on the field. But I think I've seen enough, at least recently, from some of these assistant coaches and in developing some of these guys, like a Jalen Twyman, who was a three-star guy, like a Patrick Jones, who was a two-star guy, that, you know, I think that the development is there. In terms of program growth, I don't know what the ceiling is necessarily. I just venture to say it's not Clemson, because so few programs, I think, can get to that level.
To your point, Penn State has 110,000 fans. They have, you know, resources coming out of the wazoo. They've got, you know, no issues at all with money. They've got, you know, they've got the ability to compete with the top programs in the country, financially, resource-wise, and everything. And correct me if I'm wrong, but they've won the Big Ten once in like 15 years, right?
Yeah, they won it in 2016. And before that, I don't think they maybe won it once before that. I think it was 94, I guess, because they joined in 93. So after being an independent, and to your point, you talk about the resources. I just think even in a big picture sense here, I mean, the Big Ten is a better off conference financially than the ACC is. The Big Ten network, is more profitable. They get, those schools get more money than ACC schools do. It just, that's just the reality of it. So, you know, schools in the Big Ten and schools in the SEC are going to be more, you know, they're going to be better positioned to become a consistent 9, 10, 11 win per season program. So I think that's another thing that kind of is going against Pitt in this regard. That, and then also I think the talent level in Pennsylvania, you know, in terms of high school talent, just isn't what it used to be. I mean, you look at the guys on that 76 team, even the teams in the early 80s for Pitt, I mean, a lot of those guys were local, and they were carrying them to you know, national heights. And you don't see that kind of talent coming through now. You have to diversify. You have to go into different states where a lot of teams already have, you know, relationships that have been built for 30, 40, 50 years. So it's tough.
It absolutely is. That being said, John, you know, they've got, two losses now. They still have Notre Dame, Clemson, Miami, and Virginia Tech. In your mind, for this season to be somewhat salvaged, how many of those four games do they have to win?
Of the of Virginia Tech, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Miami.
Let's assume they're going to beat Florida State, who's terrible, and Georgia Tech, who is probably maybe a little better than we think, but not that good. Let's assume they win those two games to get to five wins. Of those other four wins, of those other four games, how many do they have to win for, in your mind, this to be a successful season?
They got to win two of those four, I think. Especially you look at the way Virginia Tech has played. I don't think they're that imposing of a team. Obviously, you know, it's a good program historically, but I don't think they're as imposing this year I think Notre Dame's ranking up there that high is a little lofty right now. I think it might be a little bit more of a product of the preseason rankings. I do think Miami is legit, and obviously Clemson is Clemson. But I think at that point, you know, at this point, you know, after losing NC State, after losing Boston College, you got to win two of those four games that you consider to be, you know, your hardest games of the season, and finish 7-4 with, you know, two, you know, good win, really good wins under your belt. Maybe it's beating an undefeated Notre Dame at home. Maybe it's somehow, you know, upsetting Clemson. You know, one of the, like, something to kind of hold your hat on as this season goes on. I said before last week that I didn't think that the team could finish 7-4 with only, you know, the Virginia Tech win. And that was me assuming they were going to beat Boston College, and they didn't do that. So I think 6-5 would be a disappointment. So I think they need to get to 7-4.
Well, John, I appreciate you taking some time, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. You've done an incredible job covering that team this year. And I think Pitt fans really, really, you know, who had some reservations given where you came from, should be really, really, really thankful at the job you do.
No, I appreciate that, Paul. Thanks for having me.
All right, that's John McGonigal of the Post-Gazette.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.